Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Okay. Well, now let's get to the mailbag. We've had you guys wait long enough at this point. So let's go right to a YouTube question we got from Bruins77_7. Do you guys think now will be a good time to see if the Oilers will bite and trade for Swayman, given both Skinner and Picard didn't look too good in the finals? Obviously not sure how the cap will work for both sides, but it should free up money for the Bruins. Also, trade Swayman before his no trade clause kicks in after this upcoming season. And while his stock is a bit higher after the world championship, I know some folks think he is a piece of the cornerstone for the future, but the results so far just doesn't justify the 825 cap hit. So, I mean, Bridget and Scott, this has been, in a way, the biggest question surrounding Swayman is if the Bruins are going to try to move him, it's got to be in the next calendar year. And do they want that to be in the middle of a season to see if he does bounce back or not? And if he doesn't, then who's going to want him then? And if he does, then why would you trade him, right? So it's almost like there's a good argument to be made that if you're going to trade him, you might as well do it before the season, where he's still kind of an unknown to everybody and everybody would kind of take a risk, whether it's the Bruins keeping him or trading him or somebody taking him on. So that's fascinating. And then if you do move on from him, okay, who's coming up to replace? And so that's the concept behind moving Swayman. You move him now before his no trade kicks in after the season. But if you wait too long and you decide to move him, now it might be really tough to move him. So add to that the Oilers element of the question and take it away.
Yeah, to me, it would just come down to like how desperate are the Oilers, because this is not, certainly not in free agency. It's not a good goalie market. There's not much out there. Trades, like, yeah, they can come up, but if you're a team that really needs a goalie, like, you might have to make it happen. And so the way I look at it, if I'm the Bruins, is I would not just be dumping Jeremy Swayman. And that comes from, I think I've said this before in here, like, I do think he's going to bounce back and I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to be a good to really good NHL goalie for the majority of this contract. Just because I do believe in his talent. Like, yeah, I think mentally, physically, there were things he just didn't get right last year that you need him to correct. But I still believe Jeremy Swayman is a good goalie. And so I would not be rushing just to trade him in like a salary dump or a contract dump. I would not be doing with Swayman what the Red Sox just did with Rafael Devers, where you get this underwhelming return because you just wanted to get rid of the contract. But if there's a team out there, Edmonton, that is desperate enough to give me like a real valuable package in return, and I don't know exactly what that looks like, I don't know who it involves, then I'm listening. But I would say, like, if you're having those talks and you're Don Sweeney, you should be approaching that as if you're the one in the position of strength. You're the one who has the goalie that a legitimate Stanley Cup contender wants. So act that way. Act like you have a valuable asset that the Edmonton Oilers want. Don't act like you're down on Swayman and you're kind of just trying to get rid of him.
Yeah. I mean, but to me, the problem with the Edmonton side of it, and obviously Edmonton comes up because they seem like they are desperate and they are, not every team needs a goalie, right? Like, not every team is as desperate as they are. Some people are very happy with what they have in net. The problem is when you trade Swayman away, you're going to need to get a, more than likely going to need to get a goalie back, because if you look at what the Bruins have behind them, it's Corpus Allo. And we then, who knows, because DiPietro, we talked about this, he's a free agent. So if you look down to Providence and you you wonder, what do they have now if DiPietro gets picked up at some point this offseason? And, I mean, they still have Bussy, but Bussy has not been the number one goalie in Providence the past season, and maybe even longer than that, Scott. I don't know exactly how long it's been, because Bussy started out pretty strong when he got there, but I know Michael DiPietro had been considered the better goalie at least for the last year. And then there's some younger guys who we talked about coming up that have no NHL experience. They're actually still in college, like Philip Svedback and potentially Albin Boya, who is a free agent who will be at Bruins development camp, who is not signed by anyone. So that's not, he's not even in your system. Technically, he just there's just interest there. So you'd be in a really tough situation. You don't have an internal solution is what I'm saying. So you'd need to get a goalie. And if that goalie is Skinner, I don't know. You guys watched him. We watched the playoffs. We've seen what he is like. Would you rather, like, does that sound like an experience you want to have?
Well, I don't think if you're training with Swayman, I don't think the idea is you immediately turn around and get your number one goalie of the future somewhere. Like, to me, the idea would be you willfully take a step back at that position, and whenever you're close to contending again, you kind of figure out goaltending as one of the last pieces. Now, if you,
we also have if you
stumble onto something in the meantime and you find that guy, great. But like, I think for the time being, you just piece it together. So whether that's a Corpus Allo Skinner tandem, whether it's DiPietro getting a look, like, I think you fill in the rest of your roster and you start building everything else. And then you kind of cross the goalie bridge when you need a legit number one goalie.
Yeah. And I think ultimately the best way that I can answer this question is there's risk in holding on to Swayman and him and last year not being the outlier. And maybe he's just not as good as everybody thought he was, and including the Bruins. But the best thing, the best outcome for the Bruins is undoubtedly that Jeremy Swayman bounces back and is the goaltender that is worth the 8-2-5 cap hit going forward. So best case scenario for the Bruins is not trading Swayman for Ryan Nugent Hopkins or this or that. It's no, that he does become one of the top 10 goalies in the NHL year in, year out, maybe better, right? That's the goal. That's the risk, but that's the hope. I think that's the best outcome for the Bruins possible. I think if he plays up to his capabilities and he plays up to his contract, then no one's talking about the contract, right? So that's what I'm hoping happens. I think that's what the Bruins are hoping happens. I just think that unless they get wowed or blown away, I think, like Scott may have said, I just don't think it's a realistic thing for the Bruins, because the alternative is, okay, then who, right? So it's tough, but I think they're going to try to stick with them.
Speaking of the Oilers, what did you think of Connor McDavid's postseason press conference where he talks about, you know, staying with the Oilers and what they're building towards and all that, but then drops a "with that said" and says like he has to do what's best for his family? And the question, the context was about him having 1 year left on his contract. Lot of people getting excited about that comment.
I think the most notable thing that he said was, "I'm not in any rush." And look, he's under contract until he's under contract for, right? So if the team might have to make a decision on him, but before that, like the team has to think about losing him for nothing. McDavid doesn't care if they lose him for nothing, right? So if he decides to take them until July 1 of 2026, it's his right. And if that means that the Oilers hold on to him for the end of the 25-26 season and he ends up leaving Edmonton for nothing, that's not his concern. That's the team's concern. So if you're the player, he probably has no problem waiting as long as possible to see how the team's looking going forward. And yeah, I read that as, yeah, I'm not sure. And that's not a comfortable feeling for the Oilers or their fans. That's how
is
I read it.
Is it a leverage thing?
Could be.
I mean, so I saw people make that point, but then I also agree with what Greg Wyshynski said, which is like, why would Connor McDavid need leverage? Like, why would he need to try to publicly curry leverage? Like,
leverage is fine.
Connor McDavid can throw out whatever number he wants and the Oilers have to pay it. Like,
I think McDavid's looking at the situation for what it is, right? And you have to remember, he's much closer to it than anybody else because he's the one driving the bus for them. He's the one actually on the ice every day carrying the team for the most part, him and Leon. But if you're him, you're looking at this saying, all right, we just went to two straight finals. We lost both of them. What are the odds that we go to a third consecutive or a fourth consecutive? Like, he's probably playing the odds game now. He's probably thinking, you only get so many kicks at the can. And are my odds better going somewhere else where somebody else gets their first couple kicks of the can than staying with the Oilers and getting our fifth and sixth, third, fourth, fifth, kicks of the can? And I also think he's looking at the Oilers and saying, if we are going to go back to the finals for a third or fourth or fifth straight year, is the roster good enough to do so? It obviously seems like they can get through the West, but I don't know. I think he's very well aware of their team's flaws. If they don't address the goaltending situation or they don't beef up their blue line a little bit, he's probably looking at his team saying, you know what? Even if we do get through the West again at some point, we're not going to get through the best of the East. And even out West, guys, I think the Avalanche have more to give. I think Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon aren't done being heard from yet. And people forget just how good Cale Makar is over there. He is the Connor McDavid on the blue line. So, I mean, I could easily see the Avalanche taking a couple of runs to the Cup Finals in the next couple of years instead of Edmonton. Or, you know, maybe the Kings squeak by and get a run in. Or maybe Dallas finally breaks through. So it's not a guarantee that the Oilers keep making it back to the Finals. And I think McDavid's just looking around being like, maybe our best chance is already passed. And maybe my best shot is going somewhere else. So I think there's a lot that's going through his mind right now. And I think when he says, I'm not in a rush, I think he means it. I think he's going to let time play out and see and then reassess. Like, cause he did say what matters most to him is winning. So if he doesn't think the Oilers are the best chance to win, maybe he doesn't stick around.
And he's probably also in a very down emotional state after losing the second Stanley Cup in a row and maybe feeling like that hopeless feeling of like, well, I don't want to do this again. You know, maybe you don't put a whole lot of stock into a, you know, one little phrase said while he was upset after losing another Stanley Cup. So
let's humor me a little.
Oh boy.
Let's say, all right, he takes a couple weeks, takes some deep breaths. Sometime in July, talks to the Oilers and says, I'm not going to sign long-term. Let's see if we can figure out a trade that makes sense for both of us. He has a full no trade clause. Let's say he gives the Oilers a list of teams that he would be interested in going to, and the Boston Bruins are on it. You're Don Sweeney. What do you offer? Is there any limit? Like, is there any point where you would say, no, that's too much?
Yeah. I mean, Houston Dinoff, obviously. So we'll start there.
I mean, they're going to want Pasternak.
Right. I think that's the starting point.
Yeah. They're going to want Swayman. So that put that in there.
But if it's like Pasternak, Swayman, two future first round picks.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I mean, ultimately,
and then you have to give McDavid like 8 years, probably $16 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's like you still need a team around the guy. Right. Like you still need to support McDavid. He literally can't do it all himself. Right. So
you got Morgan Geeky thing, you know, you got the good Elias Lindholm.
And who's Nadinov?
Perfect. Who's Nadinov there? Yeah, still, so, we didn't trade him.
That's true. That's true. I don't know. I just think it's a fun question, Scott. It's not happening. So it's just
silly.
But let me move on to our next mailbag question, because we actually are running up against it. So let's try to get at least maybe two more in if we can. Let's go to Sean. Sean asked a question. He says, do you think the Bruins' centennial season had the effect of pressuring Boston to remain competitive following the departure of Bergeron and Krejci? Hindsight's 20/20, of course, but looking at when would have been a good time to potentially take a one-year retool, small retool after losing Bertuzzi and having traded Hall and Foligno in the process, should they have elected to move some assets? So I'll just go quickly, because this was kind of my thing in a 23-24 season. And, you know, hand to the sky, I know that on many podcasts, I probably sounded pretty pessimistic at times. I just knew that when they lost the Panthers in the spring of 23, once Bergeron and Krejci officially retired, to me, that was it. I think that everything else that season was a fool's errand. I think to go into a season, and I know that they finished the regular season, I think top 5 or 6 or 7 in the NHL, but it didn't mean anything when it came to the playoffs, and we all knew it. Ultimately, right? Because when you go to the playoffs, your goal is to win a Stanley Cup. I'm sorry, but they weren't winning a Stanley Cup with Zaka and Coyle. They couldn't even have gone on like that LA Kings 2012 run where they were the 8th seed and won it. No, because those Kings teams had Kopitar as their 1C and Doughty as their top defenseman and Quick in net. Like it was a totally different situation than even the Panthers the year before as an 8th seed. Like, no, that team wasn't an 8th seed on paper. The Bruins entered that postseason as like probably the 14th, 15th, 16th best roster of the playoff teams. And I just thought that you lose Krejci, you lose Bergeron right up the middle. Okay, that's bad enough. Okay, you also lose Hall, Bertuzzi, Foligno, like the writer says. And
you're thinking back to when we worked in the studio?
Yeah. I know Foligno wasn't a huge, you know, impact player in production, but Orlov goes as well, and just some other players. Like, to me, that was the perfect opportunity to willfully maybe just accepts, you know, a tough year, more so like the one that we saw this year. But to the crux of the question, I absolutely think that, yes, I don't think that ownership wanted to be embarrassed during their centennial season. I think they wanted to put out a competitive team for just that. It's tough to celebrate 100 years when you're one of the worst teams in the NHL. And I felt that way then. And I think it probably led to me being a little bit down on the team and pessimistic. I thought they were being very short-sighted. And and that's how I feel about it. I do think that they didn't have to do all the money ball that they did, right, to try to get back to the playoffs. I think they didn't have much money to spend, but they did try to patch together a team that was competitive, and I do think a lot of it was in part to it's 100 years of Bruins hockey. We don't want to be embarrassed, and I can't help but shake that feeling.
I really wanted Bergeron to play that centennial season. To me, that would have felt like, because I still think he had gas left in the tank, and then that would have then put this year as the bad year anyway. He would have finished that centennial season out. And like being the captain for the centennial season, I thought like maybe he would want to do that, but, you know, it sounds like he had known that his last season was going to be 23 anyway. So, I just thought, you know, if that's what happens and Bergeron's there, you know, in his final year, that's the season probably looks a lot different because he's going to be there on a cheap deal and he's going to be the captain for, you know, this feel good centennial season. And then you actually probably have a more of a decent shot rather than what you're saying, Brian, at like a team that made the playoffs and made it to the second round, but like, despite probably not being, you know, as good as what the results showed.
And I agree with that. Like that, like when Bergeron retired, that was the day I was like, okay, like let's just let this season happen organically the way it should. And I don't think they did anything crazy to stay competitive, but it just, I don't know, the way.
I guess that's my point is like, what did they do that was like a win now type of move or like set them back moving forward? Like that Kevin Shattenkirk and James Van Riemsdyk like were 1 year, $1 million deals. Danton Heinen made the team as an invite to training camp. Morgan Geeky turned out to be one of the best free agent signings Sweeney's made. So it's like they took very small chances. They really didn't do a whole lot. There's no big move. Like they basically, to me, did what people wanted, which was like just play it out with what you have and see what it looks like. See how Zaka and Coyle do as your top two centers. And the team ended up being better than anticipated. Like I don't really know what they're supposed to do about that. Like trade guys away, you know, off the rock, like trade Coyle at that point, trade Carlo at that point. Like, I guess I never, at the time I had no issue with their approach because it was a very low risk approach. It was, let's see what this team does. We know it's not a great team on paper. Let's just see how it plays out. And that's basically what they did. I mean, even at the deadline, like their moves were Pat Maroon and Andrew Peak, like they didn't go big at the deadline. It wasn't a win now type of season. So I didn't have an issue with it then. And I don't have an issue with it now. Like it's not a bad thing that the team overperformed and turned out to be a little better than anticipated.
Would you have just traded like Allmark earlier or something? Like
they tried to, they tried to trade Grizzlick that offseason too. And I mean, you can say maybe they should have just given those guys away, but they didn't want to do that. They wanted, if they were going to trade them, they wanted to get actual value in return. And again, I don't fault them for that. I wouldn't have given Linus Allmark away after a Vezina season.
I think you bring up a good point though as well, Scott, because you know they could have entered that season, Neely and Sweeney, thinking we didn't replace Bergeron and Krejci, and Zaka and Coyle might take us to a bottom 10 finish for all we know. Like, you know, they, if you gave them truth serum, they may have thought, you know, they may have said to the press or the media, it's an opportunity for you guys to step up and we have faith that they can do that. And on paper, they probably did overperform to Neely and Sweeney's standards. I think you're right. I think that's true. I don't think they made a ton of moves to say, oh, we're making the playoffs. Like I think it was a product of like, no, we do have McAvoy still and Lindholm and Pasternak and Swayman and a couple of guys overperformed. I think that's probably a similar reason as to why when people look at the Bruins finishing fifth last this past season and going forward, they're like, it's tough. They won't, if they play to their capabilities, they have too many pieces in place to have another season like last year, especially if they improve the roster. I think the Allmark one, and you guys just address it as not is was something they could have done earlier potentially. But I think the one that fans will point to is maybe if they should have traded Jake DeBrusk, like, and gotten something for him instead of letting him walk for nothing, because that keeping him at the deadline, you know, makes sense for
and
your No, yeah. If you keep at the deadline as your own rental, like, it makes sense, right? Like, we might not sign him in the offseason, but we want him as our own rental because we think we have a chance to win the cup. But they had to have known in that room up on the ninth floor of TD Garden, they didn't have a chance to win the cup. And even for the most optimistic people out there, I'm sorry, but you aren't winning the cup with Coyle and Zaka as your top two centers when you talk about who you have to go up against at the end of this, at the end of the playoffs. And they could have, if they knew they weren't going to re-sign Jake, they could have sacrificed having that extra top six guy in a playoff run that they weren't going to bound to win the cup anyway and gotten something for him. But again, what are you really getting for Jake DeBrusk then? I don't know. So it's not the biggest deal in the world either way.
Yeah. And it, like, that also kind of comes down to, even if they think, you know, hey, we don't really have a Stanley Cup team, can you talk yourself into our goaltending stays hot in the playoffs and we go deeper than expected? I mean, they did win a round because of goaltending. They went to six against Florida, got, you know, Swayman was good in that series. Whereas once you start selling pieces, it really, that really is like a message to the room. Like, hey, like, we're out of it. Like, you know, we're not going for it this year. And again, they tried to trade Ullmark again at that trade deadline, and he nixed it. So even then, like, there were still moves that they were trying to make to tweak that roster, but they weren't going to give anyone away.
Yeah, I just think that's the fair, like, that part's the fair second guess. You know, if you knew that your roster wasn't good enough to achieve the ultimate goal. Yes, it may have hurt the locker room to maybe try to sell a few pieces at the deadline instead of buying a couple of small ones. I like that to me is like the most they could have done to have tried to accelerate this retool is like maybe try to move a Grizzly at a deadline or maybe try to move a DeBrusk, and if they even could have. But again, I just don't think that those results were very consequential anyway. So my initial reaction to that question is, yeah, it did feel like they could have tried to retool that year instead of just trying to stay competitive. But to Scott's point, and it's a good one, it's like they really didn't do a whole lot to stay competitive. It just kind of happened. And they had it was a combination of guys overperforming with what is a good nucleus of McAvoy, Pastrnak, Lindholm, and Swayman, at least Swayman the year before. So, and Ullmark as well at the time. So,
and then the year that they try to actively add players that they think are going to help them with a playoff run goes south, totally against what we would have predicted, which we talked about. So,
all right, Bridget Scott, thank you guys. Thank you all for submitting your questions. We do have some more. We're probably going to get to them at our next recording. We're just running a little bit low on time today. Did either of you have a closing thought?
Well, just a little bit of like look ahead to our next few episodes because we have the draft coming up. So we think we're going to do our final mock draft on Wednesday, which will be our last podcast before the draft. And then we'll have a draft reaction episode. At some point, we're not sure quite when, after Friday's first round, we're not quite sure because, we don't know how long we'll be at the Garden. Cause Scott and I,
it might be after the whole draft. It's going to be a late night for us at the Garden. Sweeney's talking that night. I know I'll be right back at the Garden Saturday, for the rest of the draft. So, if we can squeeze in just a first round reaction, I think we might try to do that, but it might just be a full draft reaction at the end of the weekend.
Yeah. I mean, I could see us doing like a quick 20 minutes or something, like if we can somehow find time. But we haven't decided yet because obviously things still up in the air, and hopefully it's not reacting to Brian's nightmare situation.
I don't think that'll happen. Nightmares are nightmares for a reason, but, thank you all very much for listening. Have a great weekend and we'll talk to you soon.
Hate doing cardio?
Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.